Well, once again, good morning to everyone, to our visitors. We're all thankful to the Lord that we've had this ability to be here together and to enjoy one another's company and to sing the songs and hymns and spiritual songs of praise. And we're so thankful that God has blessed us in this way. And we pray to God that not only for ourselves, but for all our members, those who are not with us and those who cannot be with us, that the Lord would bless them with a portion of strength and health and spiritual wellness so that we can all be together in strength and in number to worship and honor our God, the God of creation and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this morning we have a lesson that's entitled War and Fights, Wars and Fights. James, in our last lesson, taught that there are two kinds of wisdom. If you remember, that is that heavenly wisdom from above, according to the Spirit of God, which is indicated in the world or seen by the world because of our good conduct and our meekness of wisdom. And then you have the wisdom that is from below, that wisdom that is full, it's bitter, full of envy and strife and self-seeking, which James describes as an earthly, sensual, and demonic kind of wisdom. Hopefully we all concluded after that lesson that we're not interested in that wisdom from below and the multiple choice. We chose the A for the wisdom from above, because we want to have lives that are pure. We want to have lives that are gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And that's the kind of wisdom that we desire, that James spoke about. If you remember the words that ended in James chapter 3 verse 18, James says, "The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And this connects chapter 3, the end of chapter 3, with this lesson today in chapter 4, wars and fights. Remember that James is writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, chapter 1, verse 1. He's writing to a multitude of Christians, and we understand that his writing isn't like specifically written for one church or one individual, but to the multitudes. It's not just one local church. And it's safe to say that the issues that James addresses in his writings, that idea of how do we live godly lives, we're seeking godliness in our lives, that they are addressed and can be applied by every child of God. And there are some things that we need more than others, but everything James teaches needs to be applied to our spiritual lives. And especially in the case of experienced strife or envy or hardship in the world, we need to apply these principles from James, keeping in mind that, again, that he's talking to a broad audience. And so it's going to be helpful as we go through the dialogue and hear the different teachings of James. So right away at verse 1 in chapter 4, we read, "Where do wars and fightings come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" You know, here is it's a rhetorical question from James, which of course he gives answer to. We need to think back again to verse 18 of the last chapter that we just read and ask ourselves, are we walking in righteousness? Are we making application to this point of the wisdom that is from above? Is the fruit of righteousness sown in us? Are we in good company with those who are sowing peace out of the peace that is in their hearts? Obviously, James knew of some brethren that are not portraying these characteristics. They're not portraying that purity, that peace, and that comfort, and that great fellowship that they have with one another. James opens with this question, and there's a couple of important issues or things that we need to understand. First of all, wars and fights. We need to think about that a little bit. You know, I remember when the first time I ever read that text, and immediately I thought of Vietnam. That was the war that was closest to me. You know, and then I thought World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Iraq War, the war in Afghanistan, and all these wars came to my mind, and that's what I thought of when I thought of James. I thought he was talking maybe futuristically, or even at that time, that there were great wars going on. And that's not what James is talking about at all. In verse 2, if you notice, we read, you lust and you do not have. He says, you lust and you do not have. And he's talking about the saints there, the Christians. And when they talk about wars and fighting, those words are usually used for like wars among nations. But that's not what James is referring to. He's not referring to members going out into the parking lot and shooting each other. That's not the point. He's not talking about calling in airstrikes and bombing each other and blowing each other up. He's not talking about having fistfights and going into the parking lot. Actually, James is referring to the kind of troubles that arise out of our own selfishness. Let me say that again. James is talking about these wars and fightings, that they are a result of our own selfishness. The warring and the fighting between some brethren, they're fighting amongst themselves because of selfishness. Part of the problem occurs when both brethren take a stance, and they always put the blame for the problem on the other person. You know, they say things like, what is your problem? And then the other person says, I don't have a problem. You're the one with the problem. You know, James is using these very strong terms, wars and fighting, because he wants us to understand this is no little matter. Because when we war and fight among ourselves, it causes division. When we war and fight among ourselves, it causes divisions. We end up turning our backs against one another, and that is a big deal. There's plenty of that going on out in the world today. Factions warring against factions. We're not to be part of that. We are called by Christ to have peace with one another, to have unity with one another, to have love with one another, care for one another. Those are the lessons that we, on Wednesday evening, we're discussing. But the wars and the fights, they happen when we're stubborn. They happen when we're self-centered, self-serving, selfish. It happens when we just have to have everything our way. You know, again, where do wars and fights come from among you? That was the question that he asked. And his answer was very simple. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, inside of us. There are things that we want, things to please us, things that we want done our way. And that's what causes the fighting. That's what causes the wars. This war, there's another word that's used in some translations, this quarreling and fighting. It comes down because of our own desires for pleasures, for things that please us. And because of that, the result of that is that the arguments, the arguing, the wars, and the fighting among us take center stage over and above our spiritual understanding. We know that we're not supposed to be argumentative. We know we're supposed to be at peace with one another. We know that we're not supposed to covet our neighbor, but we also, and because we know that we receive everything we need from God, but we don't listen to the wisdom from above. We are unwilling to be wrong in anything, unwilling to be humble because we want it our way, which is, of course, not wisdom from above. We don't have the peace together that we should have. And it's true. It doesn't, you know, doesn't everybody blame everybody else usually? And we don't have peace. We don't have harmony. We're at war. We're fighting. And it's because we desire the pleasures for ourselves. You know, I want it my way. It's that selfishness. It's the way of the world. It's not the way of God. You know, James uses a term, your desires for pleasure. And listen, he's not talking about sensuality. He's not talking about physical pleasure in the sense of lust or sexuality. There's two types of desires, or there's many types, really. But James, in this particular case, is talking about the desires that we have within us for our way, for our selfish desires, our selfish needs. When you think of these kinds of desires, you know, there could be a lot of things that come to mind. We desire that other people have a high opinion about ourselves. We desire that people put us up on a pedestal. We desire that we are honored among men, that we have a title of importance that elevates us up above others. And it could be like the religious leaders in some types of churches out there that desire to be called father, that desire to be called bishop, desire to be called pope. And one of the ones that really disturbs me are many of the denominations where the preacher desires to be called reverend. Pharisees, remember them? They loved or desired to be seen by men. They loved or desired to be in the best places in the marketplace. They loved to be in the best seats in the synagogues. They loved or desired the greetings of men, to be called rabbi, rabbi. Jesus talks about that in Matthew 23. When we live for our desires, we live to have that proverbial pat on the back, to receive honor, to have that reputation. James says your desire is really selfishness. That's what it comes down to. You know, it's all about me, that attitude. It's all about me. And if you don't do it my way, we're going to have a war on you. You're going to have a war on your hands. If you don't do it my way, you look out because a fight's coming. And you can see how this meshes together again with chapter 3. We're not being guided by God's wisdom. Because if we are, we won't live selfishly. If we're guided by the wisdom from above, we won't have bitter envy. We won't have fightings. We won't have wars. Because the wisdom from above, remember, is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. You know, if we have wars and fightings among us, the result of it's a result of not living according to the Spirit of truth. It's because we don't put others above ourselves. We don't consider their needs above our needs. We don't consider their situation above our situation, their circumstance above our circumstance. We just don't think about them as being greater than ourselves. And listen carefully. Don't be fooled into thinking that society somehow totally cares for others' needs because of the programs that are flashed all the time on the screens. The society cares for its own needs. Getting to the top. Gaining power, possessing a great position. And they society has you doing that to step on anyone, anywhere, anytime, to do whatever it takes. That's the way of this world. And when we fall into that kind of thinking and we allow our passions, our desires, the pleasure to war in our members, and then we begin to falter. We begin to falter. And that's not the way of godliness. That is not the way of truth. And I want to emphasize again and place a lot of force behind the terms that James uses here. They should generate terror in our minds. Yesterday was 9/11. Thinking about that event, the horror of it, and everything that happened as a result of that, the wars and the killings and everything. That should generate terror, an image that we just don't want to repeat. James wants you to connect the dots. He's using terms, military terms, to describe a spiritual problem. See the destructive power of wars and fightings. See the devastation. And people left dead, people left homeless, people injured and maimed for life. Connect those dots together. Understand that I'm talking spiritually about you in the church. I'm talking about what results when we are selfish, what results when our selfish desires cause wars and fights. Connect the dots. Chapter 3:18, we need to be pure. We need to be living lives that are peace, lives of peace, gentleness. And you notice something else in this text. Notice the words "among you" there. Where do wars and fightings come from? Among you. Among you. You know, fights, wars, battles, all these. James is using that term "among you" again, pointing to Christians who apparently there are some Christians there at that time that were fighting amongst themselves, battling, warring amongst themselves. You remember what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 2:11. Peter, he said, that abstain from fleshly lusts was war against your soul. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and give no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, Paul said in Romans 13 and 14. We are Christ's. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh, and that's where the wars and the fightings come from, in its passions and its desires, Galatians 5. And I want to point out that there are two words used for war in the Scriptures. There's two words. One word is the word polemos. And it means wars. It means to fight or to battle or dispute or to have strife or quarrel. The other word for war is the second word that James uses here in this text, when he says, for pleasures that war in your members. So the first word, war, there, he's talking about people fighting amongst themselves, having battles amongst themselves. He's talking about the fights and the battles. The second word, war, is, it's a different word. The Greek word is stratioumai. And it leads, it says, that word means it's a something that leads to a war. It's the things that we desire in our own hearts that leads us to wars and fightings. If our passion is for God, if our desire is to walk in the light as He was in the light, if our desire is to be pleasing to God in every way, if our desire is to live holy, righteous, and spiritual lives, if our desire is to fulfill the commandments of God, love one another as I have loved you, if our desire is to have unity and peace that Paul begged the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, pleading with them that they all have the unity of the Spirit, the one mind, that they all believe the same things, then we wouldn't have wars and we wouldn't have fighting. Those are spiritual truths. You think of that, that warring in our members is the process of going to war, setting up for the battle, getting ready for disputes, getting ready for strifes and quarrels. And that's what comes when we are driven by our desires for pleasure, that war in our members. When all the time the pleasure we should desire is loving one another. All the time that pleasure we should desire is serving one another, caring for one another. Because, and being with one another. Desiring the good things, desiring to worship to God together in unity as the church should. Desiring to study the Scriptures together in unity as the church should. Desiring to be here together each and every Lord's Day, Wednesday night, whenever we come together, because we love one another as Jesus loved us. And we desire those good things and the quarreling. And we might have differences of opinion on different things, but they're handled in peace and love. We seek harmony and unity as we discuss things that we disagree on, and we work together to build up something that would bring us to unity. But we don't war over it. We don't fight over it. Certainly we don't go out in the parking lot with guns and knives and murder one another. We don't go out there and drop bombs and so on. We're striving for the peace of God. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, and he says something really astonishing that it really applies to the rest of this lesson, but I think it's important here. When you look at this, you think about the difference between man and God. Man and God. Verse 9, Jesus says, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to you, to those who ask him?" That's the segue into another part of this lesson. It's something to think about, that God is so much greater than we are. He is willing to give us what we need to have peace and unity. And when you think about God and the gift of God, let me remind you of something. That gift came at a price. The price that God was willing to give to us when we ask for peace, when we ask for salvation, when we ask for a hope of eternal life, was Jesus Christ, his Son. It's a gift that none of us could provide. No matter how good we are, no matter how hard we work at it, none of us in this room, outside those doors, in the entire world are able to give that much. He gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross for each and every one of us. And Jesus, who is our peace, wants us to have peace. Not like the peace of the world that comes and goes, but his peace. The peace that is eternal. He wants us to have that peace. And the only way to have that peace in Christ, the only way to have that kind of unity is to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins according to the gospel. And you come up out of that water a new creation, and you learn from the scriptures to live peaceable lives, pure lives, gentle lives, lives filled with mercy and truth, goodness. But it starts with obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, if we have obeyed the gospel and we look into that perfect mirror of liberty, law of liberty, and that perfect mirror, and we see ourselves in there, and we see that we do have wars among us. We have fightings among us. We have desires in our own flesh that supersede the things of God. Our comfort. You know, we desire to have comfort over coming to worship. We desire to relax because after a hard day's work because we deserve it. We need to be very careful that we look at ourselves, that we apply the wisdom from above, and that we love one another and seek unity and peace. And we can't do that from afar. And so if we have any need whatsoever, whether it is to correct something in our life that's not right or to obey the gospel, Brother Robert has selected an invitation song that simply says, "Why do you wait? Why do you wait? Today's the day. Now is the time." Please, if you have need, no matter what it is, come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Why do you wait?